Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts, the 5th chapter, Acts chapter 5. In your Scofield Bible, page 1155, beginning with verse 27, we'll read through verse 32. These verses we'll read responsively. Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 32, page 1155. Well, let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage of Scripture. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And let's pray.
Our Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts tonight. Get glory to Thyself. Give the preacher the power of the Holy Spirit, and the people as they listen, may they be convicted. Speak to us in a powerful way tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Tucked away in the Bible are many little statements that are power-packed. They seem to be in hiding for those who search diligently for them. They're added to more popular statements that make these little statements almost anonymous. Such is my text tonight. My text tonight is surrounded by such big famous statements as, Ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. And such famous statements as, We ought to obey God rather than men. And such famous statements as, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. And such famous statements as, Him hath God exalted with his right hand. And such statements as, And we are witnesses of these things. Almost timidly nestled amidst these better known passages is an almost hidden jewel. Seven words, and so is also the Holy Ghost. Let me read it for you again. You need not turn to it, but let me just read that and show you what that follows. It says, And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost. Don't miss that, and don't miss what I'm going to say tonight. One of the most powerful truths in all the Bible is wrapped up in that one little line, and that's both the title and text of my sermon, And so also is the Holy Ghost. This has been my preaching verse for the last 6 years of my life. It's been my text verse. It's been my promise that I've claimed as I've preached around the country in the last 6 years. There have been times in the last 6 years I did not want to walk out on a platform in America. But I have looked to this passage, and we are witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost. And so also is the Holy Ghost. This would be a good last verse for a preacher. We are witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost. What am I saying? I'm saying that God has made it possible so that you never have to preach alone. You stand up and explain the gospel and preach the gospel, and while you do, and so also is the Holy Ghost. You go out soul winning and you talk to the convert, and so also is the Holy Ghost. You teach your Sunday school class and speak to them, and so also is the Holy Ghost. What a wonderful, wonderful statement. You need not speak alone. This is how a cussing preacher who had denied the Lord 50 days ago could preach to the mob who had 50 days before crucified the Savior, and 3,000 people got saved. Just a fisherman. No theological training. No seminary training. No homiletics classes. Just a fisherman. And he had become so disenchanted himself that 50 days before he had cursed and swore and denied he knew the Lord, belonged to the church, or even was saved. And 50 days later, as Dr. Rice used to say, he stood up in the back end of a pickup truck on the corner of State and Madison Street and preached the gospel, and 3,000 people got saved. Now, how could a man do that? How could a fisherman, untrained, how could that man have 3,000 people saved? One little line. We are witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost. That's how 12 rugged laymen could come from the lay section of life in a little small eastern, middle eastern country, the least of all the nations. And those 12 men could spend 3 years with the man of Galilee. And after that, literally take the gospel to the entire world. This morning we had people sitting over here from South Africa. Gospel preachers from South Africa and all around the world, this message of redeeming grace has been preached. And these 12 men preached about it and spread it, and they taught the message of Christ and witnessed about Him. And so also did the Holy Ghost. That's how a little squeaky-voiced, bug-eyed Jew could be smitten on the road to Damascus and all of a sudden see, become blinded, and yet a Christian can see more blinded than a man can without it with his eyes. And he looked up and said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And a voice said, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks or against the goad or against the big thorns." He said, "Quit doing it." And Paul said, or Saul of Tarsus said, "What wouldst thou have me do, Lord?" And this little man covered the continents for Jesus and brought the gospel to the eastern world and literally turned the world upside down for God. Now, how could one little bug-eyed Jew who was on his way to Damascus to persecute and even kill Christians, how could he change the course of human history? Tell you exactly how. He was a witness of these things, and so also was the Holy Ghost. I've got some wonderful news for you tonight. I've got some wonderful news for you. As you walk on your bus route this week, you can witness, and so also the Holy Ghost can witness too. The Bible said that so also is the Holy Ghost. I've got some good news for you. As you teach your Sunday school class next Sunday morning, you can speak and testify to your class, and so also will the Holy Ghost. I've got some good news for you. You young preacher boys going out to proclaim the message of God, and you wonder how folks are going to listen to you. Let me tell you something. When the Apostle Peter stood on Pentecost and preached, those people 50 days before had taken their own hands and crucified the Son of God, and those who were saying, crucify Him, are now saying, crown Him, crown Him. And those who were saying, let Barabbas go and crucify Jesus, now they're saying, we'll take Jesus as our personal Savior. Now, what could cause those people who are guilty of the death of Christ 50 days ago, less than 2 months ago, all of a sudden, 3,000 of them to fall on their faces and say, what must we do? And Peter looked at him and said, you better repent or turn around and put your faith in Christ. What made that possible? I'll tell you what. A little old hellfire and damnation preacher was standing up proclaiming the message of God. And so also was the Holy Ghost. So also was the Holy Ghost. There's something talking to you right now. There's somebody talking to you right now. Many hundreds of you right now are tingling on the inside. There's somebody talking to you besides Brother Hiles. Oh yes, you hear my voice. But there's something strange happening inside you right now. Some of you right now are not saved. And on the inside, you're feeling things you never thought you would feel before. You know what it is? I'm speaking, and so also is the Holy Ghost. There are those of you tonight who are going to walk down this aisle after a while and get right with God. You're saved. You know you're saved. But you're not right with God. You're not living for God. And you know you're not. You've neglected this book. You've neglected your prayer life. You've neglected your soul winning. You've neglected to live the kind of life that is pleasing to God. And tonight, while I'm talking, there's a burning on the inside. There's something going on down inside your heart tonight. You say, what is this thing I feel? It's not a thing you feel. It's a person you feel. For I'm speaking to you, and so also is the Holy Ghost. That's why a backslider on the way to Tarsus
could be cast off the boat because he caused the storm, be swallowed by a whale, stay there for 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of that fish, be vomited on the shore, hear the call of God the second time, and go to Nineveh, a city of probably 2/3 million people, maybe more, maybe 2.5 million, some folks think. But a great city, maybe as big as Chicago, and the entire city turned to God. The mayor turned to God. City council turned to God. School board turned to God. The entire city turned to God. And here's an untrained, unprofessional preacher, just a layman, if you please, and the whole city. Well, and he cries, repent, 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 turn to God, or you'll be destroyed. Repent or perish, repent or perish. Get right with God. Now, you've heard preachers on a street corner say that. I was walking down O'Hare Field concourse a few months ago, and I was walking between the terminal number 2 and number 3, the old terminals. There's a little hallway there, and in the middle of that hallway is a round place, and they have restaurants and coffee shops and restrooms and so forth. And I all of a sudden looked up, and there was a man preaching. I mean, standing right there. And he didn't have an outline. He's just saying, get right with God. You're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. You're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. Get right with God. Hold his Bible up. God pronounces doom on those that don't get saved. I walked over to him. And I said, sir, I admire you. I want to thank God for you. He said, thank you, sir. I said, my name is Jack Hiles. When I said that, he dropped his Bible. He said, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. He said, you're my favorite preacher. And I said, sir, right now, you're my favorite preacher also. He said, am I honored to meet you? I said, sir, it wasn't me that's preaching there. It was you preaching there. I'm honored to meet you. I'm honored to meet you. What was it that made a fellow like Jonah in a big city like Nineveh, walking up and down the streets? He didn't have any ministerial association, bless God, to sponsor his meeting. He had no organized religion, walking up and down the street, talking, and all of a sudden the mayor gets saved. What caused that? He was speaking, and so also was the Holy Ghost. That's what could cause the left fielder of the Chicago White Sox lay down his spikes and lay down his glove and pick up a Bible, and the great Billy Sunday could go up and down this nation challenging the devil for a fight and turning this nation back to God and drying up saloons and taverns all of America. What caused that? This guy had no sermons. He had no homiletics. He didn't know how to prepare a sermon. What caused it? Tell you exactly what caused it. It's the person who's the missing person in the average church tonight. So also is the Holy Ghost. People do not come to hear a man on a Sunday night just because he's a good speaker. They come to hear two, or they don't come to hear any. You know how you're here tonight? So, I'm speaking, but so also is the Holy Ghost. That's why you came tonight. You came tonight because you wanted God to do business with you. You came tonight because you wanted to hear more than a man. Listen, Norman Vincent Peale could preach and be more interesting than I. Or Robert Schuller or Roberta Schuller could preach and be more interesting than I am. But bless God, they don't have any crowds on Sunday night. They don't have any service on Sunday. You know why? That's exactly why. Because they speak, nobody else speaks. And bless God, you show me a man like these young men that have gone out from this place who fall on their faces and beg God for His mighty power. I'm talking about like those three churches we mentioned a while ago. Rick Fox and Wayne Cowling and Mike Haynes, yeah. And those three churches, a couple of three young men said, we believe that God will speak while we speak. And America's dying. Listen to me. America's dying tonight for the fact that we don't have enough men who speak, and the Holy Ghost speaks also. And so also is the Holy Ghost. That's why a doubter like Thomas could say, I will not believe till I see the prints of the nails in his hands. And Thomas could doubt, and yet a while later could go to India as a great missionary and there turn a continent or a nation toward God and give his life as a martyr on the mission field. What happened to a man like Thomas? He went to India and he preached, and so also did the Holy Ghost. That's why a little drink of water like Rick Martin can stand here at Howells Anderson College and fade into the woodwork for 4 years and go over to the Philippine Islands and preach tonight to thousands of people. Tonight over there, thousands of people, and hundreds and thousands get saved. Why? Tell you exactly why. It is not because you're a good preacher. It is not because you've got some funny stories. It is not because you've got some talent. It is not because you have charisma. The answer, ladies and gentlemen, is for preachers to preach, and so also doth the Holy Ghost. That's why a gypsy boy who never slept in a bed and never brushed his teeth could here be invited after he's married. Never slept in a bed, never brushed his teeth, never taken a bath in his life. Could he be invited to go to Sunday school? He thought you're supposed to. He didn't know it. He had never heard of Sunday school. He thought that's where he learned to read and write. And this married man took his tablet and book satchel and ruler and pen, pencil to Sunday school so he could get an education. Well, bless God, he did get an education. He met the one who is the truth. And he got saved. And little old Lonnie Graves turned a whole town upside down for God and built back yonder years ago one of the greatest churches in the South. Why? Hey, why? He preached. And so also did the Holy Ghost. That's why an untrained preacher can go to Walkertown, North Carolina. Bobby Robertson. Stand up and start preaching out in the woods so you can't even see a house. You couldn't from his front of his church. You might could see three or four houses now, way out in the country. And while I stand here tonight, he's preaching in his church about closing his service right now. In the great auditorium seats 3,000 people. And I expect it was almost packed. 2,500 people probably this morning and again tonight. And people got saved. And while the big boys, the reverends, and Dr. Messemup, and Dr. Bigbottom, and all the others are standing in pulpits across America with their lectures and their homiletics and their hermeneutics and apologetics and theology and all of it, and nobody comes to hear him, I'll tell you exactly why. The world is waiting to hear men who speak, and so also does the Holy Ghost. Why, a little poor introvert in a ghetto in southwest Dallas could see 750,000 people saved in 43 years of preaching. Not my preaching. Not my personality. Not my charisma. Not my humor. But thank God for 43 years while I've been preaching, so also did the Holy Ghost. That's why a deacon could speak to the Secretary of the Treasury of the entire country of Ethiopia. And all of a sudden, he'd say, "Sir, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And he said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." What could cause that Secretary of the Treasury, what could cause that man all of a sudden to be convicted and say, "I want to be saved"? I don't know exactly what. While that deacon was talking to him, somebody else was talking to him. All across America this morning, bathrobe-wearing reverends stood up in front of congregations and gave them anything except the Word of God. They gave them humanism. You don't like this preaching, just trot yourself over to one of their places. But they won't be having church tonight. You'll have to wait until next Sunday morning. They sat up there with their humanistic philosophies, their secularism, their left-wing philosophies, preaching everything but the gospel. No heaven, no hell, no new birth, no separation, no positives, no absolutes. Everything is relative. And a handful of people come and worship God and go out to live like they lived before they came, to drink their liquor and go to their nightclubs and go to their taverns and go to their public school systems and hear the humanism taught and spread humanism. Let me tell you why they don't have church on Sunday night. Tell you exactly why. Because on Sunday night, their preacher doesn't want to preach. Why? Because, brother, he'd have to preach a solo. And you don't get people to come to hear you and don't fall on their faces to get saved unless somebody else talks while you're talking to. And so also is the Holy Ghost. But I said a while ago, you guys, I've got some good news for you. You may have this in your Sunday school class. You may have him speak while you speak in your Sunday school class. I've got some good news for you. You may have this on your bus route. You may have him speak while you speak on your bus route. Never dawn on you why some people do and some people don't. Ever dawn on you why some folks walk down the aisle and bring converts and others don't, but they try? That's exactly why. It is not by might, it is not by power, it is by the Holy Spirit of God, saith the Lord of hosts. Somebody else is talking too. I've got good news for you, teachers. You can have this in your classroom. I want to say this. You can learn all of the methods you want to about keeping order in a classroom. You can go all the seminars you want to about how to keep the attention of little children. But I'll guarantee you one thing. You get on your face and you pray for God Almighty to give you His power, and you pray for the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God, and you walk in that classroom and you say, boys and girls, and somebody on the inside is witnessing also. Nothing will help keep order in a classroom like that. I've got some good news for you. As you preach someday, you preacher boys, you may have exactly what they're talking about right here. They were witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost. I've got some good news for you folks that sing solos and duets, sing in special groups, sing in the choir. As you sing and witness by your voice, so also will the Holy Ghost. Three things I want to say quickly. Before you get there, He'll be speaking if you pay the price. I could stand here tonight for hours and tell you stories like this. 5 weeks before I go preach in a church, I'll be going tomorrow morning, God willing, up in the northern Michigan, what you call? Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I'm preaching tomorrow night, Tuesday morning and Tuesday night, God willing. Now for 5 weeks, I've been praying for that meeting. 5 weeks before I go to a meeting, I begin praying every day for God to bless that meeting. I usually pick out the sermons I'm going to preach 5 weeks before I go there, and know what I'm going to preach 5 weeks before I go there. But I pray something like this. And by the way, this is my verse now. This is my verse now. And so also is the Holy Ghost. Ye are witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost. For 5 weeks I pray something like this. Holy Spirit, go before me and prepare people there. And get the folks ready. And have people ready to be reached. And help me to find someone while I'm there to witness to help them get saved. Ladies and gentlemen, I could tell you story after story after story where before I got there, the Holy Ghost was already there witnessing. So when I came, all I had to do was witness and say what the Holy Spirit told me to say. And He was already there telling them what I was going to tell them. So also was the Holy Ghost. I was at a restaurant this last week in a distant state. Got me a bite to eat. Bite nothing. 5,000 bites. I bowed my head. Thank God for the food. A man got up over here on the other side of the restaurant, walked over and said, "Sir, were you praying a while ago?" I said, "Yes, I was." He said, "I want you to know I appreciate that." I said, "You must be a Christian." He said, "No, I'm not." But he said, "I admire people who are." And I said, "You could be a Christian if you wanted to be." And it took me less than 10 minutes to lead that man to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Why? Because I'd been praying before I got there for the Holy Spirit to already be there. I was on an airplane the other day, flying out west. Been praying for 5 weeks for God to, for the Holy Spirit to speak before I got there. On the airplane, I was sitting there, had on the same suit I have on right now, except I had on a solid black tie. And so, I had on black suspenders. I have on gray ones tonight. I had on black suspenders. I was sitting there and all of a sudden took my coat off, put it up overhead, and sat back down. The fellow sitting beside me, the seat beside me is empty, but the seat over here between us, he was on this side. I was over here in the seat between us, and I'm not sure where he was, I'm not sure where I was, but I was on the airplane. He looked over to me and he said, "You must be a reverend." And I said, "Sir, what gives you the idea I'm a reverend?" He said, "You got on a black suit." He said, "You got on a black tie." He said, "I saw you. Now I look at you, you got on black suspenders." He said, "You got on black shoes. You got on black socks. You just put a black hat up there." He said, "You must be a reverend." I said, "I'm not a reverend, but I'm a Christian." He said, "Are you a preacher?" I said, "Yes, I am." And I said, "I can tell you
A wonderful story. And I told that man about the Savior all because I was wearing all black. All black. I was preaching not long ago, a few years ago, with a black preacher. And he said, bless God, he said, I wear black shoes and black suit and black tie and black socks. I wear black shorts and black undershirt. And he said, I tell you what, he said, I've got four black children. And he said, when I die, my wife won't be a black widow. But now, wait a minute. I pray for God, the Holy Spirit, to go and speak before I get there. The same thing He'll do for you. I was going to Maryland, Clinton, Maryland, last December. One of our missionaries, Brother Long from Nigeria, unsaved mother, he wrote me a letter and said, Brother House, pray for my unsaved mother. I've tried to witness to her, tried to get her saved. I can't get her saved. She won't listen to me. Weeks before I went to Clinton, Maryland, I began to pray for God to give me that lady. After the service one night, I mean late at night, I'm talking about 10:30, 11 o'clock, I asked the pastor to take me to her home. He took me there. This lady to whom her son had witnessed, missionary son, nobody could get him saved. About 11 o'clock that night, I told her the wonderful story of Christ. And this very cultured, refined lady received Christ as her Savior. What are you saying? I'm saying before I go somewhere, I say to the Holy Spirit, go ahead of me. Somebody said, Brother House, you have an advanced man to go before you and get things ready. I've got an advanced God that goes before me to get things ready. I'm simply saying, what America needs is a preachers and Christians who speak and witness of these things, and so also does the Holy Ghost. Several years ago, I got burdened about Dr. Jorgensen's dad. Unsaved man, very successful businessman, refined man, educated man, cultured, just the opposite of his son. And Doc had asked me to pray for him. Never asked me to go see him. As far as I know, he never did you? And he's going to try to get him to come here. But he was sick. And I got burdened about him. And I began to pray for God, the Holy Spirit, to get there, prepare his heart. And one day I decided to go out there, out in what town? Hebron? DeMott, out in DeMott. He was strong enough to be up, but he had cancer. The truth is, he was a dying man. Nobody could reach him. I told him that day how much I loved his son, how much his son was praying for him. And ladies and gentlemen, you know what I'm talking about. You can tell when the Holy Spirit's been witnessing before you get there. All I had to do was just reel him in, brother. The Holy Spirit already had him on the hook before I got there. I just reeled him in. Dr. Jorgensen's father got saved. And I guess how many months after that? About 4 months after that, he went to heaven. Successful businessman, intellectual man, brilliant man, a proud man, the kind that only the Holy Spirit can talk to and get him saved. So also is the Holy Ghost. I was out in Southern California. The pastor and I were driving to church on Tuesday morning. We drove down a freeway about 5 minutes. Turned off the freeway. Drove down a busy street about like Sibley Street here for several blocks. Turned off on a neighborhood road. The car behind us began to honk. I mean just sitting on the horn. I wanted to turn around and holler, blow your nose, you'll get more out of it. But I wouldn't do that at all. And I wouldn't do that. Some of you folks don't like this kind of lingo, do you? The kind of preacher you like, they're not having church tonight, so stay where you are. I mean, there's somebody sitting on their horn. And finally, the pastor stopped right there in the middle of the street and got out of the car. And this lady got out of her car, and she walked up there. And said, wait a minute. For 5 weeks, I've been praying for God to get the folks ready. And she looked at him, and she said, I need God. I mean, boy, they're just ripe. Just pluck them off the tree. He said, well, ma'am, okay, but why did you stop us? She said, I was driving down the freeway. I had taken my Bible and put my Bible up on the dash. And that lady saw that Bible on the dash and followed that Bible.
I mean, and she wasn't even going to turn off the freeway, but she turned off because she wanted to talk to the folks at that Bible on the dash. Well, you say, I'm going to put my Bible on the dash. That won't do it. That won't do it. You bathe someplace for 5 weeks in prayer, and you beg for God's Holy Spirit to speak and testify and witness and prepare before you get there. And our God is still a miracle working God, and you can witness, and so also does the Holy Ghost. That isn't all. Bless God. Not only will He go and speak before you get there, but He'll speak while you speak. Mrs. Hiles and I were in Cairo, Egypt, on a tour of Bible lands. We went that night with a group of about 20 people on this trip, this tour, this back years ago. And I'd prayed before I left on that trip, dear God, prepare somebody for us on this trip. I won't go into the fact that in Jerusalem, just a few blocks from Calvary, a man was saved that church had been praying for years. I won't go into that. But I walked in Cairo, Egypt, Little room, seated about 100 people, I guess. Maybe 150 is packed and jammed and folks standing around the edges. There's an old man sitting right down here on the front. Must have been 64 years old. An old man. And a young man beside him. And they're sitting right about as close to me as those flowers are right there. Because the little room, and there wasn't over a 3 feet between me and him. And I was up here like this on the pulpit. And they had a glass of water up here on the pulpit. Well, I don't like that. If you're a pussyfooter, you can have a glass of water. But you ever preach like I preach, and you'll knock that water off. And so I did. Right. And this guy, this old man had on one of these caps. Huh? You let me do the preaching here, son. And one of these Arab kind of caps, you know, turban is what it was. And so... Yeah, while I preach, so does the Holy Ghost. And so does Tim Sharp. And I thought, that man, he won't listen to what I've got to say. And the pastor told me, said, that fella, he's steeped in this Muslim religion. He's steeped in it. He's all the way in it. I gave the invitation. And by the way, I spilled the water right on him. Right on him. Water's right here. Spilled it right on him. I mean, soaked him. I thought, there he goes. Steeped in the Muslim religion. I've already baptized him before he got saved. Spilled the whole thing on him. He was sopping wet. Never left. Never walked out. Invitation time came. He was the first person to come and take my hand and receive Christ as his Savior. But wait a minute. Here's what he said. After the service was over, he went to the pastor of that little church in Cairo, Egypt. Walked up to him and he said, Pastor, when I'll speak... Heart burn. When Hiles speak, heart burn. Wasn't Hiles speaking that caused his heart to burn. It was so also is the Holy Ghost. So also is the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you a sweet story. I was out in Maine Friday night. After the service, a pastor walked up. Pastor said, Brother Hiles, you know me? I said, yes, I do. He called his name. He said... I said, you went to Hiles Anderson College. That's right. He said, no, only that. He said, I was reared in Griffith, Indiana. He said, he got saved at our church, went to Hiles Anderson College, graduated, and now he's pastoring out in New England. And he said to me, Friday night, just night before last, he said to me, Dr. Hiles, he said, I got something to tell you. He said, my father, I think he said he was Lutheran, but one of the ethnic kind of religions that like goes along with a race, you know, like Roman Catholic or Greek Orthodox, or German Lutheran, or something, Dutch Reform. You know, the kind where your religion goes along with your nationality. He said, my dad had no use for the gospel. I've tried to get my dad to come and hear you preach. My dad didn't have any use to hear you preach. I've tried to get my dad saved. He said, I couldn't get my dad saved. But he said, I got a letter from him the other day. Hey, hear me now. He's been gone now for weeks. Got a letter from him the other day. He said, son, I want to tell you, on Sunday mornings I've been slipping over to hear Hiles. Said he got me saved the other day. Hasn't walked the aisle yet and hasn't got baptized, but wrote his son, told his son he's slipping over to hear Hiles on Sunday. And he said, he got me saved the other day.
Reminds me a bit of Sunday. This drunk walked up and he said, "Hey, Billy Sunday," he said, "you saved me." And Billy Sunday said, "you look like some of my jobs." You say, Brother Hiles, take last Sunday night. That sailor got up back there, big tall fella. He could have made a hamburger meat out of me like that. He wanted to say something. I don't know what he wanted to say. Since then, I learned that he wanted to say something that wasn't really bad. He wanted to confess. I don't know. But I told him, "Put your hand down, son. It's not forum time. It's preaching time." He gets up to walk out. He walks out about 10 miles a month. Barely leaving. I asked the guys to push him. But he went out in the hallway and didn't leave the property. And while I quit speaking to him, somebody else was still speaking. And so also is the Holy Ghost. And he walked the aisle Sunday night and received Christ as his Savior. He got saved. People said, "Brother Hiles, boy, I tell you what, you make folks mad like that." He said, "Well, they never will come back." He came back in a hurry. So also is the Holy Ghost. You've heard the story. One of the most beautiful stories in recent years at First Baptist Church in Hammond. Larry Chappell told me this story. He said, "Brother Hiles, you don't know it, but," he said, "I want to tell you a story about a man your ministry rebuilt." He said, "One of the best missionaries in the entire world." He called his name. I will not call his name. He said, "One of the greatest missionaries I've ever known. Spent his life in the jungles." I think he said of Africa. I'm not sure. May have been of East Chicago. I'm not sure what jungles it was. But he said, spent his life in the jungles of a foreign heathen country. He got up around 60 years of age. He said his wife had all she could take. His wife just told him one day, "I'm through. I can't take any more. I'm leaving you. I'm divorcing you. I cannot be a missionary anymore. I want to have some kind of a decent, normal life the rest of my life." And she left him. He had to come back to the States. He had to resign the mission board. He gave up. Totally gave up. He got a job, and that job brought him to Chicago one day, one Sunday. He had heard of me and heard of our church. And Larry Chappell told me this story. He came to church out here one Sunday. He came back. And he came back. I never knew this. In fact, I haven't met the fellow yet. But Larry Chappell said, "Brother Hiles," said, "that man came to your church," and he said, "God began to speak to him, and so also is the Holy Ghost. Ye are witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost." He said, "Brother Hiles, in 2 years, Sunday after Sunday, he came and sat in that auditorium." Where was he? Was he back in the corner somewhere? I don't know. Was he up in the mezzanine? Or was he back in the overflow? Or was he over here somewhere back? I don't know where he was, but he came. And for 2 years, Larry Chappell said, "You did not know it, but your sermons rebuilt that man's life." He said, "Now that man, his wife is gone, divorced him. But now in his 60s, he's decided to go back to the mission field in the jungles and spend the rest of his life on the mission field." And he said, "Brother Hiles," he said, "all of it happened in the auditorium of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana." And it's an amazing thing. I never preached a sermon on missionaries ought to go back to the field. I never preached a sermon on fellows that are divorced and can still serve God. I never preached a sermon on the fact that if you're a missionary, you ought to get back on the field. But while I was preaching, so was the Holy Ghost. So also was the Holy Ghost. And rebuilding. I'm talking to somebody tonight. He's talking to you right now about something I'm not even talking about. Or one little statement I'll make in this sermon, he'll take it and he'll use it like an arrow to pierce your heart and like a dagger to drive in your heart and transform your life. Why? Bless God, for 43 years he and I have been preaching together. We're witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost. That isn't all. Not only does He speak before you speak and while you speak, but He'll speak after you speak. I hadn't thought of this story in years and years and years. I was visiting with Bob Keyes. He's been in heaven for years now. He was my assistant pastor in Garland. We knocked on a door on Freeman Drive in Garland, Texas. A lady came to the door. I'm sorry, a female came to the door. And I said, "How do you do?" Her name was Trammell. Isn't it amazing how I remember that? And I can't remember what I did yesterday. I don't know where I am now sometimes. Her name was Trammell. And I said, Mrs. Trammell, I'm Brother Hiles from First Baptist Church. And here's exactly what she said, word for word. Yes, I know who you are. I was in your church last Sunday. And I'd just like to say a few things about your services. The pianist played too fast. The organist played too fast. The singer sang too fast. And you preached too fast. And I couldn't get out fast enough. It's exactly what she said. Now, you know me that I would never make anything but a kind remark after that statement. And I said to her, ma'am, may I say this kindly? I have been soul winning now regularly for about a dozen years. And I make many visits every week. And I've knocked on thousands and thousands of doors. And I've talked to thousands and thousands of ladies. But of all the ladies I've talked to, ma'am, you are the meanest and the tackiest and the ugliest of them all. I turned and walked off. Walked nothing. I ran. I turned to walk off. That was on Thursday or Friday afternoon. I was in my study before the service Sunday morning. Bob Keys came in, white as a sheet, trembling and sweating. He said, she's out there. She's out there. She's out there. She's out there. I said, Bob, who's out there? He said, you know who I'm talking about. The ugliest, meanest, tackiest woman in the whole world. Walked out, and there she sat, right over there. Invitation time came. She walked down the aisle, and she said, Reverend, you were right. I am ugly, I'm tacky, and I'm mean. And she said, after you left, I could not forget. She said, something kept speaking to me. She said, I want to get saved this morning. And she got saved, she got baptized, and she remembered our church when I left after all those years. I'm simply saying, well, now, I know what you're going to do. You're going to say, oh boy, wait till I get out soul winning, boy. You wait till somebody tells me off. I'll tell them what you said. Now, what you better do is you better be sure you've got a partner with you before you do that. And I'm not talking about Bob Keys either. I was preaching one night in Garland, Texas. A young lady about 18 years old jumped up, and the only time it's ever happened to all my ministry, she started cursing me out loud from the audience. And she called me everything imaginable. And as she walked out, I said, little lady, we love you. We love you. And she cursed as she walked out. I went home. About 2 hours later, I got a phone call. She said, this is a little lady. She said, I'm the one that cursed you tonight. But she said, I can't get away from the fact that you said, we love you. We love you. She said, could I talk to you? And she received Christ as her Savior that night. And so also is the Holy Ghost. One man in America kept this doctrine alive for a generation. His name was John Rice. John Rice dared to be called by his critics a Pentecostal when he was not, and dared to be called by the Pentecostals a heretic when he was not. But John Rice kept the doctrine of the fullness of the Holy Spirit alive for a generation in America. When he died, all that could die of him. The last time I heard him preach, he and I shared a platform together. For 2,200 times we'd done that. 2,200 times he and I had shared the same platform for 22 years. Many times, all across this nation and in foreign countries, in Japan, in Jamaica, and all across this nation, we'd preached together. Now came the last time. Wadsworth, Ohio. Dr. Rice had been ill for a number of months, weeks, months. He called me and he said, Brother Hiles, he said, let's try it one more time. Let's just try one more conference and see how I can do. And that night, Wadsworth, Ohio, I said, over here on this side, Dr. Rice preached the last message. I preached the first. It was the last time I ever heard him preach. He forgot his sermon. Read one scripture, preached another sermon, and gave an invitation for something. Had nothing to do with any one of them. Lost his control of his bodily functions while he was preaching, and people began to laugh that didn't know him. And I sat over there and cried. After the service, I went to his room, and the night's in. Wadsworth, Ohio, his room was next door to mine. Mrs. Rice was there. And I walked in. I said, Dr. Rice, how do you feel? My good friend of many years looked up and said, who are you? And I said, don't you know who I am?
He said, "Who are you?" And I knelt there. And I promised God that I would not let this doctrine die in my lifetime. And from there I decided to preach on the Holy Spirit around the country. From there I taught here over a year on the Holy Spirit. And from there I published a book on the Holy Spirit. And around the country I preach on Him over and over and over again. When he died, I went to his casket. I preached the funeral message. I went to his casket, looked at his body and said, "Dr. John, I promise you two things today. I'll preach on prayer and I'll preach on the Holy Spirit and keep alive the doctrines that you kept alive for your generation. Tomorrow morning I'll leave to go to the airport. As I do every time I leave to go to the airport, I'll stop in the waiting room. And there's his picture. And in his own handwriting to my buddy, Dr. Jack Hiles. John R. Rice, Psalm 126, 5 and 6. I look at his picture and say, "Dr. John, I miss you. I'm doing what I can to preach the same doctrines that you preached and to hold high the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and His fullness." That's the last thing I'll do before I leave the building to go to the airport. Now, ladies and gentlemen, more than you need anything else in the Christian life, you need this one to witness also. "And ye are witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit." And ye are witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you one other little statement here. Listen carefully to it, and I'll be through. "And we are His witnesses of these things." Now get this. "And so also is the Holy Ghost." Now the next line. "Whom God hath given to them that obey Him." I'm not talking about His presence. I'm talking about His power. I'm talking about to get into witness. And that's what the fullness of the Holy Spirit is. Fullness of the Holy Spirit is not some jabbering, some pagan tongue. That's not the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So when I talk to God in that language, well, God knows English very, very well. He doesn't need any help. What is the fullness of the Holy Spirit? It's when you obey Him and serve Him and love Him and give all for Him and plead with Him. And then as you teach, so also does the Holy Ghost. And as you build your bus route and go visiting, so also does the Holy Ghost. And as you witness to people, so also does the Holy Ghost. And as you preach, so also does the Holy Ghost. And as you teach your Sunday school class, so also does the Holy Ghost. And as you teach your Christian classroom, so also does the Holy Ghost. And as you teach your children, so also does the Holy Ghost. Little scripture, never heard it preached on. Never in 43 years have I heard anybody preach on the text I used tonight. It's hidden. It's tucked away. It's tucked away in such statements as, "Ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine." I've heard that preached on. "We ought to obey God rather than man." I've heard that preached on. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart. I've heard that preached on. "Him hath God exalted with His right hand." I've heard that preached on. "And we are witnesses of these things." I've heard that preached on. But the most needed thing in America tonight is for God's people to be witnesses of these things. "And so also is the Holy Ghost, our Heavenly Father." I've tried to be obedient tonight, what you told me to say. You know, and I know, and I haven't told these people this, but this is not the sermon I was going to preach tonight.